Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hope you're all staying cool out there in the middle of this heat advisory for the New York City area, with today's heat index supposed to be in the upper 90s and then near 100, even hotter tomorrow. So we are starting this morning with six things worth knowing about the heat and your health. I am joined now by Dr. Jeremy Sperling, MD. He's Associate Director of the Emergency Department at New York Presbyterian Hospital, Weill Cornell Medical Center. Dr. Sperling, welcome to WNYC. Thanks a lot for doing this.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Let's start with hydration. How much water should you drink, and what are the signs of dehydration?
So you could feel dehydrated when you might start feeling lightheaded. You might feel a little dizzy. Your mouth might feel very dry. You want to make sure that in this kind of heat that you're even before you feel symptoms, you should be drinking fluids and multiple glasses a day. That's going to depend a little bit on your health conditions. A young healthy person could probably drink quite a bit of fluid, the 6 to 8 glasses a day at least of fluids, and not have to worry about it. Someone elderly, maybe you want to who has medical conditions, you might want to check with your doctor. But good 6, 8, maybe more, depending on your fluid status and what kind of work you're going to be doing, whether you're going to be outside in the heat or not, will depend on how much. But don't wait until you get dehydrated to start drinking fluids.
Does a beer hydrate you or dehydrate you?
So your instinct is to go grab a cold beer, and you think that would potentially hydrate you, but that would be wrong, actually. So the problem with alcohol is it actually dehydrates you, and you lose more fluid than you gain by drinking. So when you drink a lot of alcohol, it actually you urinate a lot more, and you lose fluid. So avoid alcohol in this heat wave.
How about coffee with caffeine?
So similar type of idea that caffeine acts what we call a diuretic, and the same idea is that too much caffeine might make you lose fluids in the same way.
And so, does it matter if you drink cold beverages or hot beverages? We had someone suggest, hey, drink something hot because you're going to feel cooler when you stop.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I think you want to make sure that you are taking fluids. You want to make sure that you're taking fluids with electrolytes, so some of these sports drinks. But you also got to be careful about actually taking too much sugar in those sports drinks. So a good mix might be to drink relatively cool sports drinks with electrolytes and some sugar in it, but mix that, get to drink some water as well, so that you're not just taking pure sugar. Pure sugar drinks will actually also dehydrate you in some way as well. So drink a lot of water, but also drink things with electrolytes and some sugar in it. That helps you absorb the fluids.
All right. So that's our first thing worth knowing, hydration. Number two, how do you know if you're afflicted by heat stroke?
Well, heat stroke, you would know if someone was afflicted by heat stroke. Heat stroke is where your body temperature rapidly rises, 105, 104, 106 degrees, and there's actually a change in the person's mentation, how they're actually thinking or looking. So they may be completely altered. They may have passed out. In extreme cases, they could be having a seizure. So it's someone who has an alteration in how they're thinking and how their mind is working, and their body temperature is very high. And that would be someone who you should immediately call 911 and seek help.
When else should you seek medical attention for anything that you feel to be a heat-related symptom?
I think that if someone is if someone's body temperature is rapidly rising and you can't control it, so that is a high 100, so 103, 104, 102, and you can't get that down quickly, if you pass out from a heat-related illness, that might, and you can't get fluid, so you're getting yourself very dehydrated. So I would say alterations in mental status, passing out, if your body temperature is rising rapid, you just feel unwell and you feel like you can't keep up with come to an emergency department, let us take a look at you, make sure that you're okay.
All right. Third thing worth knowing, in terms of health, not just comfort, is a fan enough, or do you need to seek out air conditioning? We saw a quote of you relating to the deaths in the heat wave in Europe a few years ago, where you said one of the things that contributed was they don't have as much air conditioning as we do in the United States. But, of course, human beings lived without air conditioning until relatively a few decades ago. So do you really need air conditioning for your safety?
Air conditioning is going to be much more efficient. So the advice, if you look at a lot of different advisories that are out there, they say, if you can get yourself to some place for a number of hours a day, like the shopping mall, to a library, some place that has air conditioning, do that if you can. A fan will provide some comfort, but may not fully prevent you from rapid rise in temperature. So the other thing I would say is that a lot in the New York City apartment building where one of your neighbors may not have air conditioning, check up on people like friends, relatives, neighbors who don't have access to air conditioning. Make sure they're okay. Make sure that someone's checking on them every once in a while because they're at risk.
All right. Third thing, if your exercise routine includes outdoors activity, should you skip it? I actually really wanted to bring my bicycle to work today. I felt like it. But then this little voice in my head said, well, you're really not supposed to. So if you want to continue your usual exercise routine, should you resist?
I think you should. In high 90-degree weather, try to do some exercise indoors, somewhere air-conditioned, go to the gym or do it in your home. If you're out there, you're much more likely, no matter how conditioned you are and how good a shape you are, if you're out in 90-degree weather and you really exercise, you are at risk for getting all sorts of heat-related complications.
Can you do it until you feel something, or is that too late?
I think that might be a mistake. So we see patients every year who are well-trained athletes, but it's high 90 degrees, and next thing they know, they push it a little bit, and next thing they know, they come in altered with a heat stroke. So I would say, if you can, high 90 degrees weather, try to do your exercise routine indoors, take a day off. It's the short-term risk is much higher than kind of any of that long-term gain you might get from one day of exercise.
All right, we're talking six things worth knowing about the heat and your health with Dr. Jeremy Sperling, the Associate Director of the Emergency Department at New York Presbyterian Hospital and Weill Cornell Medical Center. Thing number five, the heat index factors in humidity as well as temperature to determine how hot it feels. But does humidity matter for personal health, or is it just a matter of discomfort?
It does matter. So the way your body cools itself down is by sweating. And when it's really humid, like it's going to be this next couple of days, humidity makes it more difficult for your body to sweat or to release that sweat away from the body. So essentially, in high humidity, it's harder to cool your body down. So it does matter. So in very high humidity plus the high heat makes it kind of a double whammy and would make it more difficult to make you at higher risk for heat-related complications.
Sixth thing, we all know that the elderly are more vulnerable in high temperatures. We keep hearing it. You said it during this conversation. But why is that?
I think there's a few different reasons. They often are on medications that make it more difficult to sweat, so to cool their bodies down. They're at higher risk for they're not as mobile, so they can't run and go get fluids or run to go get air conditioning. They're on blood pressure medications or different medications that either may make the circulation more difficult to sweat and they have medication that blocks sweating. So they're just at higher risk from many different points of view. They may just be mildly dehydrated at baseline from medications they may be on or from lack of fluid intake. So it's multiple different issues. They're not the only group that I would really pay attention to. So anybody who's on a lot of chronic medications might be high risk. Infants, little children, they might not be able to tell you as they're first developing those first signs and symptoms. So you really got to pay attention to young children, to anybody who just isn't able to express themselves, because of disability. Keep an eye on those patients and those people to make sure that they're not at risk for heat-related complications.
So you did the six things we ought to know about the heat in your health so efficiently. I'm going to ask you for a bonus seventh thing. And we know you're not a veterinarian, but we get so many questions from our listeners about pets. Are there any major tips that you would share for pet owners out there?
I'm not a veterinarian, but I would say it's the same. Don't leave your pet in your car in this kind of weather. They are not going to have an ability to get out to go see cool, to go to a cooler place. Don't be careful about leaving them in your apartment where it might raise to high 90 degrees. So make sure they're hydrated. They're not going to be able to tell you when they're just like an infant. They're not going to be able to tell you when they start feeling heat related complications. So keep an eye on them.
Hey, how about cars in general? You mentioned don't leave the pets in your cars. Kids die in cars from the heat. Are there car related, heat related tips?
Well, the nice thing about most cars, they have air conditioning, so definitely be generous about the air conditioning. Yeah, no matter what time of year it is, never leave your children alone in a car. So that would be dangerous for many reasons. So I would just say, you know, just get the air conditioning going. Be generous that way.
And don't forget to fill up the coolant, but I guess that's for another kind of expert.
Yep.
Dr. Jeremy Sperling, MD, Associate Director of the Emergency Department at New York Presbyterian Hospital, Weill Cornell Medical Center, with six things worth knowing and a few bonus things about the heat and your health. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up next. It's zero hour for the nuclear option in the Senate right now. We'll go live to Washington and see what's happening.